Psalm 130, a song of ascents. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Thus far, have you ever cried out to the Lord for help? I mean, have you ever really cried out to the Lord for help? I'm not talking about foxhole prayers, those types of prayers. Lord, if you help me through this, then I'll go to church every day. I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. But the kind of prayer that you might give when you find yourself at that point of despair and you can't bring yourself to carry on. Many find themselves in this dreadful place and don't know how to get away from it. What causes such things? There are many things, and it's very common. I think of those in places like Houston, where we had those tremendous floods after Hurricane Harvey, or those that are in Puerto Rico, where that Hurricane Maria just barreled through. Or I think of the earthquake in Mexico and all those buildings collapsing on so many people. And they find themselves in despair. Loved ones lost, loved ones missing, buildings or personal possessions destroyed. Nothing is left. Where do they turn? Where do they go? Many struggle with this despair when they struggle with decisions that they have made, decisions that were made many, many, many years ago, decisions, struggles with things that they have done and things that they should have done. But have you ever found yourself in just such, where you were filled with so much despair? What did you do? Where did you turn? I can't imagine that there's anyone here who doesn't know what I'm talking about. Maybe the youngest among us don't really have a sense of that. But I'm sure every one of you has experienced that sort of despair. In our text today, you'll see that the psalmist is burdened by a weight of despair, the difficulty of his situation. And in particular, he's in despair because of the heinousness of his sins. And so he turns to the only place that he knows to turn. He turns to the only one that he knows to turn to. He turns to God and to his promises. Psalm 130 is part of those songs of ascents. And I know you're familiar with those songs of ascent. They were sung by the people as they went up to the temple to worship our God. In Psalm 129, you have the psalmist having what we would call this imprecatory prayer, praying that the Lord would destroy the wicked, that the Lord would judge the wicked for the things that they have done. Psalm 129, you see that the Lord's righteousness preserves the wicked, but preserves the believer, but judges the wicked. And then you come to Psalm 130, which is a beautiful balance to Psalm 129. The psalmist recognizes that he is the one who ought to have been judged. He is the one who deserves the imprecation, the judgment, the condemnation of the Lord. And that's what causes him to cry out in this psalm. And I will show you by God's grace that believers wait expectantly for the Lord, who is more than able to answer their cry for help and forgiveness. The Lord, or believers, wait expectantly for the Lord, who is more than able to answer their cry for help and for forgiveness. You will see the cry of the believer, the conviction of the believer, the comfort of the believer, and the confidence of the believer. The cry, the conviction, the comfort, and the confidence of the believer. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. You hear the psalmist just cry out to the Lord. He has come to an end of himself. He says, I am in the depths. And the idea of the depths here is the idea of deep, deep waters. Have you ever been in deep, deep water? I suppose maybe you have in a swimming pool, 20 feet deep. And that's pretty deep. But imagine that you're in the ocean, and the ocean depth is like a mile or 2 miles down to the bottom of the ocean. That's where the psalmist finds himself, in the depths of his despair. He's at the bottom of the ocean, and he says, there, out of those depths, I have cried out to you, O Lord. He knows, if you've ever been in a pool and you've ever almost drowned, as it were, or struggled to get to the top, you know what a panic feeling that is, to be under that water and be searching for the top and searching for the air and not being able to find it. That's how the psalmist feels as he cries out to the Lord. He cries out, Lord, help me. Save me. I can't do this on my own. And he says, Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry. Can you imagine being in that depth of water and crying out and expecting anyone to hear you? It just is not something that's possible. Yet that's where the psalmist finds himself. He finds himself in this pit of despair, and he cries out to God, and he knows that God will hear him. He is in deep inner distress. He recognizes the turmoil which is all around him, and there's only one thing that he knows to do in the midst of his struggle, and that is cry out to God. Have you cried out to God in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your difficulties and turmoil, when everything seems to be going the wrong way, when nothing seems to be right, when it seems that the Lord is no longer there and you're in the depth of despair? Have you cried out to the Lord? Or have you turned to some self-help guru that promises, if you do these five things, I will help you and I will get you through? You see, the psalmist knew where to turn, and he turned there every time, because he knew that even though he was in the depths of despair, he knew that God would hear. And he pleads with God to hear his cry for help. So the psalmist cries out for help. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my sup. What was it that caused the psalmist to cry out in despair? It was his sin. It was the sin which raged war within him. It was that sin that raised its ugly head when he did the things that he knew he should not have done, and when he did not do the things, when he was not loving to his children or to his wife or to her husband, when he struggled with dealing correctly with his neighbor. The psalmist is just burdened by it. Why would the psalmist be burdened by this sin that the God to whom he calls is a holy? He begins to see himself against the backdrop of righteousness. Do you see yourself? See your sin? That, even if you don't think that you've sinned, the psalmist is burdened by his sin. He is burdened by the term, cry out to God to hear the voice of his supplication. And so he prays to God. He earnestly asks God to hear. You see, believers wait expectantly for the Lord, who is more than able to answer their cries. The psalmist cries out because he sees the conviction of the believer. He cries out to the Lord because he says, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. You see, the psalmist stands in the place where everyone stands before God. He recognizes that he has been adding to his backpack, as it were, the burden of his sins. And he's been carrying them around wherever he goes. And it doesn't matter where he goes, that burden comes with him. And that burden weighs him down. And he cannot move. And he cries out to the Lord for deliverance from such a burden. And you would ask, why? Why would God hear? Why would he want to deliver me from this burden? I have sinned against him, against the holiness of God. There is no reason that God should hear my cry. But the psalmist stands convicted that God will hear. Because notice what he says, if you should mark iniquities, who could stand? What's the psalmist saying? He's saying that the Lord does not mark the iniquities of those who turn to him in repentance and faith. That their sin is forgiven. That this burden that you're carrying around, he looks at it, he takes it, and he throws it away. But he throws it away at the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ did on the cross, he can take that burden from you. Because Christ died for your sin in your place, God no longer marks iniquity. And that's exactly why the psalmist cries out. Because he knows that he deserves condemnation. But he also knows that God does not, or that God does forgive sin. See, God is not walking around with a checkbook in his hand and he's got your name listed there and he says, oh, check, just did it again. Check, did it again. You know what, I bet you he's done these two. He's going to do this third. Oh, check, he did that. And he doesn't then whip it out and look it at you and say, oh, Jill, let me remind you of what you did here on this date. Check, and on this date, check, and on this date, check. And why should I forgive you? No, the Lord does not mark iniquity. He does not keep track of your sin, of the sin of those who have come to him in repentance and faith. You see, he does not record these things. And the iniquity, what is that iniquity? It is the guilt that is caused by sin. And I know there are those here who are burdened by that guilt of sin. Brothers and sisters, if you have cried out to the Lord for forgiveness, the Lord has forgiven that. That is the conviction of the psalmist. Is that your conviction? And furthermore, God is a God who forgives, but with you there is forgiveness. That is, the Lord will forget. He will cast it, as we saw this morning in our confession, our assurance of pardon, he will cast it into the sea. So that though you might be in the depths of the despair, he will bring you up. And he will take that guilt of that iniquity and he will cast that into the depths of the sea to be lost forever. Why does he do it? In order that you might stand in awe of his majesty and of his mercy. That's exactly where the psalmist stands. Where do you stand before the Lord? Do you stand in the conviction that your sin is forgiven in Christ? Do you really believe that your sins have been forgiven by Christ when he hung upon the cross? But brothers and sisters, if you continue to cling to that sin, if you refuse to confess that sin, if you refuse to acknowledge that sin, then mark my words, the Lord will mark those iniquities. You will not know the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will not know the forgiveness of God. And you can cry all you want, and it will make no difference. Those are the two sides of that coin of repentance. See, there is none of us who does that perfectly. There is not one of us who perfectly confesses our sin. There's not one of us who perfectly lives a righteous life in the sight of God. If there was, all you would have to do is keep the Ten Commandments. And in keeping the Ten Commandments, you would be in heaven. You know the struggle that you have with your sin. You know the need of forgiveness that you stand in need of. This is the God who we gather together to worship. think you have sent his son, might be loved, that you might stand with your jaw dropped to the ground in awe of what God has done for you. This is where the psalmist stands. When he cries out of the depths, stands in this conviction that God will forgive him his sin and will remember it no more. See, believers wait expectantly for the Lord, who is more than able to answer their cry for help. You've seen the cry of the believer and the conviction of the believer. Notice the believer's comfort. He says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. And in his word, the Lord doesn't necessarily deliver you from the turmoil and the despair that you find. You sometimes long, longer than you ever thought. I wait, my soul waits. And why does the psalmist wait? What enables him and what strengthens him, gives him the strength to wait for the Lord, to answer his prayer, to deliver him from the turmoil, from the despair, from the depths out of which he cries? Words, you and I. Oh, God is faithful. He has said, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Whoever confesses their sin, I will forgive their iniquity. That is, as the saying goes, that is a promise you can take to the bank. You can count on it because God never changes. God doesn't promise one thing with one hand and behind his back have his fingers crossed and say, I had you believing in this promise, but you know it's really not going to happen. No, when God says, I will forgive you your sins, when I cleanse you from all your unrighteousness, he will do so. He has done so for all who are in Christ Jesus. And just because you don't have the sense of that hope, just because you have to wait long under that burden and under that trial, you must wait. Rest in the promises that God has given. Notice he says, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. I know you know, most of you, I would assume most of you would know what it's like to be laying awake in your bed at night, not able to sleep. You just look at your clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. When is the morning? The psalmist says, I long for the morning to come, for that day when the Lord will shed his light, the light of day, upon this turmoil in which I find myself. And upon shining the light of day, I will know the freedom that comes from the promises that God has. That's the psalmist's, that he waits for the Lord because God is faithful to his words. Everything that he says he will do, he will do. Brothers and sisters, do you believe that? Do you wait for the Lord to do it? Do you take comfort and confidence? Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus endured the eternal wrath. I want to encourage you, if you are struggling, to look to Christ. Look to him for your hope and for your strength. Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, he will be with you. He will go before you. He will lift you up out of that mire because he put his son into that mire for you, into that cesspool of sin, in order that you might be washed and you might be forgiven and you might be cleansed. But if you do not turn from your sin, there is a warning. There is no ear to hear you cry from the depths. There is no promise of forgiveness. Continue in your sin. You see, the comfort of the believer is in the promises of God. Believers wait expectantly for the Lord, who is more than able to answer their cries. You've seen the cry of the believer, the conviction of the believer, the confidence of the believer, or the comfort of the believer. Now notice the confidence of the believer. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Why can the psalmist have this conviction? Why does he have this comfort when he cries out to the Lord? Because he is confident that with the Lord there is mercy. He is confident with the Lord that there is abundant redemption. You know, it doesn't say adequate redemption. Lord, I believe that you will save me because there's adequate redemption. You have enough money in the bank to pay for my sin. He doesn't say that. He says abundant redemption. Brothers and sisters, how much is abundant redemption? Tell me, how much? Is it $1 million? $1 billion? $1 trillion? What is it? What is abundant redemption? It means more than enough, way more than enough to cover your iniquity, to cover your sin. And why is that? Because the Lord is merciful. That is, he does not give you what you deserve. That's the message of the gospel. That's the hope of the gospel. That's the comfort of the gospel that you can have, that he will be there and he will bear you up. He shall redeem Israel. Redeem. To buy back. You've had coupons before, right? You know, I'm sure if you like shopping, you do grocery shopping, you've had these coupons. A manufacturer prints out a piece of paper and says, this is a coupon worth 25 cents. You bring this piece of paper in, we'll buy this piece of paper back from you for 25 cents. That's the idea of redemption, to buy back. God buys back Israel from the guilt of their sin. Well, brothers and sisters, where do you cry in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your difficulties? Where do you turn? Do you look expectantly to the Lord for deliverance? Do you cry out to him for help? And if you have done so, has he heard you? Or have you said, forget it? Why should I keep crying out to the Lord? He doesn't hear. He's not answering my prayers. What does the psalmist tell you? Wait upon better. The Lord will lift you out of the mire in which you currently find yourself in his good time, for his good name, in order that you know that struggle with sin. You know what it is. I want you to see what Jesus did when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? God forsook Jesus in order that he might strengthen up here. My view, O Lord, should mark iniquities. Who could stand? I wait for you. My soul waits for you, O Lord. O brother and sister, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy. With him is abundant redemption. And he shall. That was the strength, the hope, and the conviction of the psalmist. Is it your strength?